This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. NXT After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got NXT Underground, we've got championships on the line, and we even got some news to talk about up front. But before we do, allow me to introduce the team. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by a fellow who's reading The Death of WCW, not a book I enjoy because I was a big WCW fan, George Hermosa. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, I'm reading this book because apparently, and we're going to get into the news section, they're making this into like a documentary of some sort.
Yeah, we will be talking about that. They are going to be making a documentary about it. You know, fun fact, you and I earlier today, I don't know when it goes live, we chatted with someone from WCW today, Dave Penzer. We got a chat with the cummerbund wearing ring announcer from WCW. It was a great conversation, going to be up on the Wrestling Chatter. But hey, this isn't the Wrestling Chatter, so I got to get into our show. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. Baby Ice, thank you so much for the compliment. Alicia A as well. Tommy O, yes, we're going to have a fun time here. Make sure to light up that chat. We got some news. Let's talk about it first. Before we talk about that WCW stuff, let's talk about a fella that some wrestling fans may be familiar with. Some fans of movies might also be familiar with. His name is The Rock. There's some news going around about him, George. I don't know if you've heard, but The Wrap reports that The Rock has been accused of being, quote, an average of 7 to 8 hours late per day to the set of his upcoming Christmas blockbuster Red One, as well as missing entire days of production on more than one occasion, citing anonymous sources. This reportedly caused the crew to either shoot around his absence or simply wait for the actor's eventual arrival, increasing the film's budget by an estimated $50 million. Dwayne, this is a quote, Dwayne truly does not give a F, one Hollywood insider was quoted as saying. However, there is at least some doubt to the validity of the accusations, with the report citing several other sources who were, quote, close to the production and to Seven Bucks, which is The Rock's production company. They stated the actor was not more than an hour late to set on average. Additionally, sources from film studio Amazon MGM claimed that the budget for Red One was always set to be around $250 million, which is close to where it remains today. WWE was also quick to defend The Rock, who they said Dwayne was not only on time for WrestleMania, he was hours early to help with rehearsal and a pleasure to work with throughout the entire run. That comes from Chris LaGentle, WWE's head of global communications. A Wrestling Inc. source inside WWE reiterated that The Rock had no problems with lateness or issues of any kind in his recent program with new undisputed WWE champion Cody Rhodes. That's a mouthful, George. You know, I want your thoughts on this. I feel like this is kind of a flimsy report. I don't know anything about this stuff, but it just feels very I don't know. Something doesn't smell right if you smell what I'm cooking.
So my question is, when I heard this story for the first time, when it came from the rap, I'm just like, why? Like, I get this kind of TMZ environment that we live in where headlines and newsworthy clips kind of rule all. But I'm just curious why. Like, what's the agenda? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Do you have an agenda against The Rock? Do you have some kind of beef with The Rock? Like, why is this story coming out now? Like, nobody's asking for this. No, he's not involved in some kind of scandal where people are trying to question the validity of his integrity and whatnot. Because at the end of the day, like, who cares, right? Like, for example, you know, first off, I guess you can say my side gig. I work on like commercials, like producing and things like that. Cause we all know that wrestling is my number one gig. But I worked on a Spotify commercial, and I'll tell you off air, Jack, but there was one rapper that was like, I want to say like 5 hours late, and like production, you know, tore their thumbs, you know, they got the set ready pretty much, just kind of waiting around for the guy to show up. And at the end of the day, he showed up. The commercial turned out perfectly fine. And like, so like, who cares? Like, we all got paid. Like, and if anything, some of us even got overtime. So it's like, we don't really care. Cause for shoots, especially in the entertainment industry, we don't necessarily work hourly. We work by day. It's either, are you free this day? Or are you not? Everybody on the crew, regardless of how late he was or how late he wasn't, they all got paid. So like, who cares? Right. So like, when I hear these stories about, like, oh, he was 8 hours late, he was 7 hours late, like, why is this coming out? You know, yeah. I'm not saying it's true or false. I'm saying, like, but why is it coming out? Why is it important to whatever agenda that you're trying to get across? So I thought it was a little weird that these stories were coming out. It's not like he's on this super high and we're trying to knock him down, or it's not even where he's on this super low and we're trying to knock him down even further. So, like, I see these stories that are getting published, and I'm like, who cares? Like we saw what we saw at WrestleMania. That if it came out that, oh, he was 2 or 3 hours late to, you know, rehearsing one of the matches, like, are we going to like the match less? Like, who cares?
Yeah. The thing is with news, I always say you have to wonder how it broke or why it broke. Why did someone say this? If it's true, why did someone feel like they needed to go to The Rap and make this anonymous report? What did they have to gain from it? I always say it seems flimsy, because whenever I see, and look, I don't know, I'm just making this up. I literally just read this for the first time a little bit ago. I just find that these kind of things, when they're very non-specific, it always seems weird to me, right? Like, oh, he's late by a lot. He's missing full days. You know, there's not a whole lot of specifics to it. Where if you're someone who, to your point, if it matters, like if you're Amazon MGM and you're the one paying all this extra money, you're not putting that in the news. You're not saying you're spending a bunch of money. You don't want everyone to know you're wasting money. Mm-hmm. You just deal with The Rock directly in that case. So if it's someone who is complaining or whatever, I don't know. It just, it doesn't feel specific, and that makes me feel like this is kind of weird. As far as WWE backing up The Rock, I also feel like, of course they're going to say he's great. You know, like, hey, George, yeah, how's your boss doing? He's doing a good job? Yeah, thumbs up. He's doing fantastic.
Yeah.
If you ask me how the bosses over at Wrestling Inc. are doing, oh, they're amazing. I'm not going to go out and be like, oh, yeah, he has been pretty terrible. Mm. Like, what do they expect? It's funny. I just feel like it's a non-story, to your point, George. I don't think anything's gonna come of it. But any final thoughts on that little bit of news?
I'm sure this is gonna get pretty much forgotten in about 24 hours. Like, again, it is what it is. Like, who cares? Like, what are we talking about here? You know, like, somebody was late, somebody wasn't late. Like, did the job end up getting done? We'll see.
Speaking of The Rock, and speaking of the tease you gave us earlier on in the show, The Rock is producing a docuseries on the demise of WCW. Deadline reports that The Rock and Danny Garcia's Seven Bucks production studio will executive produce the docuseries Who Killed WCW for Vice TV. As the title makes evident, the series will focus on the rise and fall of World Championship Wrestling from its origins as Jim Crockett Promotions through the its rise during the Monday Night Wars and all the way to WWE purchasing the promotion in 2001. The series is scheduled to begin on June 4th and will feature interviews from former WCW executives and wrestlers, as well as wrestling insiders. Of course, The Rock goes on to talk about that as well. You can check out the quotes on WrestlingInc.com. George, I always say I am a big time late period WCW fan. I was team WCW all the way through. So I love WCW stuff. Are you excited to see this? Or do you feel like this is sort of like the Montreal Screwjob, where we've revisited this? We know how it goes.
Want to know why I am not excited about it? Because then I'll be reminded about how great WCW was and how much it's not here anymore. I'll take WCW over AEW any day of the week. And it's not a knock on AEW. It just, that's what we grew up on. We grew up on the Monday Night Wars. We grew up on the greatness of what the NWO and Goldberg and DDP all were. You know, I'm excited for it, to be honest with you, just because it's, I mean, but at the same time, tell me something I don't know. We had, you know, the death of WCW, which I personally, not really too big of a fan of the book itself. I bought it because I thought it'd be interesting. I mean, it's a fun read, you know, it's a fun read. But as far as obviously there's a lot of speculation in there. But, you know, anybody who I know you have, I've skimmed it here and there. The Guy Evans book Nitro, I'm sure that has a lot of information as well that maybe we don't know. As long as it gives me some information that I don't already know, I'm all for it. But if they're going to go back and forth with, oh, it was Russo, it was Bischoff, it was Jamie Kellner, it was this person, like, yeah, we all hear that before. I mean, at the end of the day, it was Jamie Kellner, because he was the person that, or is it a she? I think it's
I don't know. I don't know.
Jamie is the person that ultimately killed WCW, because Jamie was the one that said, I do not want wrestling on Turner programming anymore. So, you know, spoiler alert, that's who killed WCW. So like I said, as long as it's something new and original, I'm all for it. I'm all excited to see this. Is it a four episode, right? Four episode docuseries?
I did not say on my news blurb. I feel like as a WCW fan, I've seen WCW get dragged through the mud so many times over the past 25 years. At this
revisionist
point.
History.
And it's just like I've seen how it fell apart a million times. And there's only so many times that you can watch something that you love get destroyed before you're a little bit like, I get it. Like it fell apart for whatever reason. I do think the Nitro book, for me, feels like it really put a good bow on things. I don't know how you tell the story better than Nitro book.
Yeah.
And, you know, Death of WCW has its opinions. Nitro book has its opinions. I feel like Nitro book is so well-sourced. It's very hard for me to argue what that book says, because it literally is interviews from all the people who were a part of it. And they pretty much tie the bow as well as it can get.
And for the record, I was a big fan of WCW 2000. Like I was right at that age where I wanted to like all the inside stuff. So I was like, my God, this Vince Russo interview at Bash at the Beach is amazing. He's like calling out Hulk Hogan and all these cool things. So for the record, I was a big fan of at the time. I absolutely loved WCW in 2000. It gets a lot of bad rap, especially recently, but I loved it.
The WCW 2000 was perfect. Like, it's easy to look back and make fun of it, and trust me, it definitely has its issues, but there was no better show for like, what are we gonna get this week? Yeah. Like, you had no idea what you were gonna be getting week in and week out, for good and for bad. I mean, title changes every week, different stuff happening. You had no idea what Scott Steiner was gonna say. It was absolute, like, you know, they car crash TV, as they call it. I mean, it was fun. It was exciting. It was a mess. And there were times you're like, what are they doing? But I mean, come on. There were certain times I'm just like, it was great.
Sorry, Baby Ice.
Baby Ice. Come on, Baby Ice. We park our car in the same garage. You got to be a fan of late period WCW. So we got a little bit of backstage news that is not necessarily good or bad. By the way, I should say I'm totally going to watch every episode of Who Killed WCW for all my trash talk. I'm going to watch every single one of them. But we got some backstage news that looks like someone may be making their way out of NXT. Scripps will become a free agent in the near future. Went on to social media to say June 1st he'll be accepting bookings. Posted a little video, by the way, of him putting all of his stuff from WWE into a box. George, it's kind of disappointing. I feel bad for someone like Scripps, who, or Reggie, depending on what you want to call him, who literally took about everything you could have imagined as far as what they threw at him and did everything he could to make something from it. It's unfortunate to not get rewarded, but I guess that's just how it is in entertainment sometimes.
I was a big fan of his when he was the sommelier for Carmella, when he was Reginald. And we saw a glimpse of just how agile and how athletic he can be. I guess he was a Cirque du Soleil performer. Cirque du Soleil. How do you say that third word?
Cirque. I don't know.
So there were like glimpses of just like how quick he can be, and I'm a little upset that we never got to really see that. But at the same time, hopeful that we will be able to see that maybe after he, you know, goes off and ventures into, you know, whatever he ends up doing, whether it's indies or, you know, I don't know if AEW or TNA is interested, but obviously we've seen recently, for the last couple years actually, some pretty cool things happened for people that got released. They turned obviously water into wine or a negative into positive, to the point where indies is thriving in many ways.
Yeah, and he's someone who, I know it's, you know, I'm just a podcaster, so he doesn't probably care what I think, but I absolutely believe that he is someone who will thrive on the independent scene. Mm-hmm. He's someone, because if you look at the way he does things, the moves he does, he is someone who, if you can see him live in a small arena, you will pay tickets to go see. And there's a lot of people I can already imagine seeing, what's his name now? Sydney Akeem. If you could see Sydney Akeem versus a lot of the people on the indies right now, I think you'd pay good money to see them, because I think he's going to be flying all over. Baby Ice, I mean, exactly. Reggie versus Mike Bailey, that'll crush. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that matchup.
Especially so with how, social media is these days. He's essentially one Twitter clip away from getting booked like all over the place.
Yeah. And I think he will do well. I think he'll get booked a lot of places, and I think he'll get to really show what he can do when he's not trying to do sommeliers and you know, poem writing and things like that. And I don't mean to cast disparaging comments to creative, because sometimes that's how it goes. But I definitely think that he'll do well once he's able to kind of get out there and show the world just how talented he is. People who are coming though and going, we're talking about that. I want to talk about the draft a little bit, and everyone in the chat, definitely let us know your thoughts about this as well. Going into the draft this year, George, it seemed like there was a lot of talk about NXT being more involved, maybe becoming more of a third brand, as they were talking. It seemed like they weren't particularly that involved outside of a few people getting drafted from them. So Carmelo Hayes, Blair Davenport, Ilya Dragunov, Lyra Valkyria, Dijak, and Kiana James. Were you disappointed that they weren't more involved? Do you like them being more like, I always call it like the college football of WWE? Or what were your thoughts on that situation?
I would have liked for them to make a big deal. I mean, I've been very critical on this draft process, or actually the presentation that it's been. I have this theory, actually, just to kind of sidetrack a little bit. This version of, or the presentation of what we've seen in the draft, started in about 2019. And I feel like this is something that was pushed by Fox, because we've never seen it that this way, where the entire roster, even if you're going from the same brand to the same brand, coming to Monday Night Raw is Jey Uso. And I'm like, he was already there, you know. But I and I'm fingers crossed that and again, this is me being very critical of the presentation of the draft, that this is the last year they'll do it because they're not going to be on Fox next year. I feel like it was a Fox thing for them to push it this way. With that said, I would like more it to feel like an actual draft, but just for NXT. And I think I said this on Friday as well, where treat that like the NFL draft, because the at least for me, I don't know about you as well, but at least for me, the brightest spots of this draft on Friday and Monday, when they would cut to the PC and show those people get drafted. That to me was the absolute best part. Seeing Lyra, seeing Kiana, seeing Ilya, seeing Dijak, like that to me was the best part of the draft. So I'd like to see more of that, but actually make it like, you know, some of these stories, some of these backgrounds and things like that. With that said, if they implement that aspect of it, because obviously, and I like that they touched upon it today, the fact that the champions, like if you're going to draft from NXT, technically you should draft the NXT champion. But the fact that they mentioned it even today that you can't draft champions, so that I kind of like that aspect of it. But keep it that. As far as NXT being in the draft, I don't mind that it didn't. It wasn't the way, or I don't mind the way it was done, because I like it when people randomly show up on NXT. We'll talk about it today. I like it because it's like you never know who's going to show up. At the same time, you do have guys like, and I said this last week, you do have guys like, I think Omos going to NXT would be huge.
Everything he does is huge.
Yeah, no pun intended. for him to show up and maybe take this new NXT on CW era coming up in a few months into the next level, I think that can be big business. But with that said, I like the way it is. I like these random appearances that we see, because it makes it more special. Like, and it's like, it's weird how it doesn't matter how devious you are on the main roster, you're like an automatic babyface when you show up in NXT. I think that's funny.
Yeah, I feel like I've always been of the mind, if you're going to call it a draft, you got to go all the way with it and make it feel like a real true draft. I think Beer Money and I are kind of on a similar plane. If you're going to do a draft, I think that in my mind, I would say instead of doing all these picks, I would just say, like, Raw gets 3 picks from SmackDown. SmackDown gets 3 picks from Raw. And then both shows get 3 picks from NXT. Or something like that. Because I don't think it's just not exciting to see Raw draft a Raw wrestler. you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, it's just a non-story.
I said this in the last week a lot, is that I like the way they did it in 2004 and 2005. Like, I won't get into it. I won't bore anybody with how it was. But when you look back at those Raws, it was one Raw on 2004. But in 2005, it was like a whole month of just this SmackDown person shows up on Raw, this Raw person shows up on SmackDown. I like that. Like, because it was just a handful. Like, you think about just how it was. Like, they wasted so much time this past weekend just drafting people to the same show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, I mean, pretty much everything that was presented, the way you said it, the way it was in 04, 05, I think that's the way to go. And I feel like, fingers crossed, that this is the last time they're going to do it the way it's done.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. Did you like that? Do you think that NXT should be treated as a third brand? I feel like every year rumors go around that now it's going to be a third brand and they're going to get draft picks. They're going to be a part of this. And then it never happens. Is this something that you think is kind of a fan built narrative that it's going to happen? Or do you think it should happen? What do you think about NXT getting to draft people?
Should it be presented as a third brand? Yes. Internally, will it ever be a third brand? No, because we ain't never seen Roman Reigns in the main event of an NXT show, right? That would mean it's a third brand. Emphasize the importance of it, make these people feel like it's a big deal. But at the end of the day, like, until you can be in NXT and not have to live in Orlando, or until you see the it's emotional for some of these people to get drafted from NXT to Raw or SmackDown. Why? Because even they know it's, you know, not a third brand. But again, present it But internally, like, we still know it's still a developmental brand.
Yeah, it's let me ask you this last thing on this, because there are people there. What if the draft was only, you could basically each show drafted three people from NXT, let's say. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. But then throughout, you have NXT doing trades with the main roster, like short-term trades, like a football team where you say, hey, we're going to trade you. I'm trying to remember who's. We'll trade you Josh Briggs and Wesley for 3 months, and we get Bobby Lashley, you know, or something like that. Like, so that way you're trading things, and like they're getting the main roster, some main roster time for a little bit. You're getting the Bobby Lashley thing, but you're also not breaking the rules of a draft, if that makes sense.
I do like that aspect of it. I wish they would do a little bit more as far as like contracts, where, you know, they make such a big deal. They made such a big deal about Bron Breakker signing on SmackDown, only for him to be drafted on Raw like a month or two later. So I like that aspect of these kind of transactions happening. I'm all for it. It's one of those instances where I think you have a good idea, but let's see if it's executed well.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into the show. This was a spring break in night two. It was a banger of an episode. But before we do, as always, I want to thank everybody who's joining us here. If you could do me a huge favor, go to Twitter, go to Instagram, go to Snapchat or TikTok or whatever social media platform you're on. Go to Mastodon, if people are still on, whatever that is. Go wherever you're at. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. If you're in the chat, like Donnie Cochran or Killer of Demons or Tommy, oh, Alicia, hey, or Baby Ice, Brianne Milligan, Laura Rock, J.R. Smith, Jose Topete. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Jose. I apologize. Stalking You with the dog emoji always gets a shout out. Adonde, Carrie Johnson, Baxter, Majestic Marie. Fun fact, I'm on Majestic Marie's upcoming podcast, Peaches and Power Bombs. That'll be dropping, and make sure to follow both of us on social media for when that goes down. But Mike Martin, Anarbin Bardhan, sorry if I mispronounce your name, good fella. Appreciate all of you guys coming through. And if you're not in the chat, if you're just hanging out, like, you know, beer money, by the way, I don't think I called you out. If you're just hanging out, if you're a team lurker, still glad you're here, hanging out, watching the show, lurking. I appreciate you. Let's get into this show. We start things off hot. George Hermosa. Trick Williams comes out. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ilya Dragunov. Then Lash Legend comes out, and she's talking up Trick. And he reminds her she tried to slap him the last time they were face-to-face. They talk a little bit about candy before Lash fans herself off and says things are about to get hot. And if Trick wants to know what's in the envelope, he needs to be on Supernova Sessions next week. The big question, George, that I think everyone around the world is asking after seeing that envelope is, are you a Reese's Pieces guy or a Kit Kat guy?
You literally stole my bit. I was going to say I love Kit Kats. Mm-hmm. I mean, shout out to Reese's as well, but a cold Kit Kat fresh from the fridge, it's the absolute best. The absolute best. I'm even a big fan of the white chocolate Kit Kats. Anybody a fan of those?
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's some innuendo there, but yeah, I like the
1000%. There's not. I just really like the white chocolate Kit Kats.
Based on the opening segment here,
I'm legit talking about the actual Kit Kat itself.
I love all Kit Kats. I even love the weird. They got the mocha flavors now. I'm a huge Kit Kat fan.
The green ones, the matcha ones.
Yeah.
With that said, I absolutely love this segment. This was so much fun. Like, they're sitting there going back and forth. Again, don't quote me on this. I think they might be dating in real life. That's the word on the street. So obviously there is kind of something, some dynamic there with the two. Yeah. and the crowd digging it, you know, the crowd reacting to it, and then them reacting to the crowd. Wasabi Kit Kat. That sounds okay.
I'd try it. I'd give it a whirl.
Yeah.
I'd break it off.
Breaking off of that piece. I liked it. I want to see more of these two. I like the dynamic. Hope maybe it's going to lead into maybe a Noam Dar being the first challenger, who I think is interesting. I think he's got quite the experience going, you know, even dating back to 205 Live. And obviously he, I'm going to go on a limb saying probably the best Heritage Cup champion that's ever been.
I am a Heritage Cup expert and historian, and I would agree with you.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm excited. Obviously, Noam Dar can go. Trick Williams is always very, very exciting. So I'm excited to be on that, see what's next in that Whoop That Trick era.
Mike Martin says, sugar-free Kit Kats. Now, Mike, I got to ask.
What's the point?
I got to ask, do you like the taste of the sugar-free Kit Kats more, or do you just prefer to not get sugar? Because if you're just trying to be healthy, then just get the sugar with the Kit Kats, baby. But if you like the taste more, I give it to you. That's okay. My mom loved Diet Coke because of the taste. She likes the taste of Diet Coke. I didn't get it, but that's how she felt. Gigi lurking. Good to see you, Gigi. Thanks for coming through.
Georgina. Alicia,
Georgina, yes. it's so funny. The big question Baby Ice has, what's in the envelope? We'll get to that maybe. I don't know. Maybe next week. I want to talk about candy. Alicia A, though, talking, I loved the crowd during this. George, what I wanted to ask you about with this segment is one of the things that makes NXT special. A lot of people want it to be its own brand, maybe tour. The crowd, I think, is so important, not just because they're interactive, but the size of the crowd, I think, is important because the way they talk to each other on NXT, because it's not in a big arena, is different paced and more real, I think. Talk to me a little bit about what NXT is able to do promo wise because of the crowd.
The word is intimate. It's a lot more intimate. It's a more intimate environment. This is one of the things that always made NXT so special, is that it had that smaller crowd, the more passionate crowd. Even when it gets to like a bigger arena, that's why those stand and delivers, or and they're not called takeovers anymore, but you know, the PLEs.
Yeah, the PLEs, yeah.
Yeah, but even dating back to the takeover days, I mean, those were always so great because it trickled from those small environments and obviously into a bigger thing. But it'd be weird, not weird, but maybe like interesting to see maybe them go into a weekly arena show. But some of the magic is that small arena. Some of the magic lies within those confines of the walls of the PC, or even dating back to the Full Sail days.
Alicia says, by the way, Mike Martin says, non-sugar. You're strong, but hey, if I get any Kit Kat, I'll take it. Alicia A says, I think someone in the crowd said, Trick's the father for what's in the envelope. I did hear that, which was fantastic. But Baby Ice says, I won't believe it till Murray, how do you say it?
Mari.
It's Mari, right? Yeah.
Mori?
I think it's Mori. Why did I suddenly, like, my brain just cut out how to say that name? I don't know why. It's so weird. Probably because I tried to memorize a wrestling name, kicked it out of my brain somewhere along the line. But what do you think is in the envelope, George? We got to actually come to some guesses here. What's in the envelope?
It's going to be a contract for Noam Dar to face Trick Williams.
You think so? Just that straightforward.
Well, I mean, what else can it be? I couldn't really think of anything else.
Implied things are going to get hot. Like, I mean, maybe there's something more to it.
Maybe to join Metaphor? So it could be Meta 5.
What do you guys think in the chat? I mean, I think the obvious answer is it's a contract to face Noam Dar. I think that's the easy answer. But in the chat, let me know if you have any spicy or interesting takes or ideas that are maybe different than that. I feel like I'd like it to be something a little bit more interesting than just the title shot, you know? Like, I don't know, an Inferno match or something. We got Ariana Grace hanging out with Georgina as they're about to eat. Basically, this whole segment, George, was just a chance for them to go through and run down the card for tonight. But I want to talk about it because, one, I think Ariana Grace has been an absolute treasure for NXT and what she's been able to do. And I also like how they're able to, NXT, for all their special shows, I love how they build in a rundown that isn't just the commentary team going, tonight we have blah, 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 but they turn it into character development as well.
I absolutely adore and love Ariana Grace. I'm talking, to me, she is going to be such a star in NXT, Raw, SmackDown, wherever she goes. She's got it. Everybody always talks about it. I think she's got it. She's in my top two, and we'll get into who my other one is later on. But yes, everything Ariana Grace. It's funny because like I always think about these segments, and I'm like, at first, I'm like, who talks like this during dinner? And then I'm like, wait a minute. I've had plenty of these kind of conversations with friends over dinner where we just nerd out over pro wrestling and we're nerd out about what's coming up on WrestleMania or whatever it is. And I'm like, all right, we'll play it. We'll let it be.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk like that all the time. That's like half of our conversations, George. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got some interesting picks. By the way, I agree with you. Ariana Grace, like I said, a treasure. I think she's going to be a huge star. I think her comedic timing, her ability to deliver
her facials are impeccable.
Everything about it. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, yeah, it's because she's Santino's daughter. Yes, but you got to give her the credit for how good she is. There's a lot of people who are the kids of great wrestlers that can't make it work. She's nailing it. And I think that she has the ability to be a character that will keep her on TV for as long as she wants to be. We got a few predictions for what could be in that envelope. Baby Ice says it's pics of someone else who helped Mello attack Trick. That is an interesting.
That is interesting.
Interesting one. Killer Demon says Lashes Prager's. That could be a fascinating opportunity there. Maybe Lash has evidence of something Trick did. And Beer Money says, I feel like the size of the envelope, it's photos of some sort or a contract for her to be his valet. All interesting takes. I like you guys. You guys impressed me here in the chat. I'm proud of you. And Lurkers, I got a feeling you had some good ideas too, but you just didn't show them. We have Laura Rock says, Jack, I do zero sugar, Pepsi and Coke Zero. I was on a big Coke Zero trip for a while. Speaking of big, Oba Femi took on Ivar for the North American Championship. Come on, what a transition that was, folks. We got a little stare down between Trick and Oba Femi. Femi, for the first time, is really tested in the size game. Oba survives a doomsault and manages to lift Ivar multiple times, slamming the Viking and getting the win. It's a short celebration, however, as Wes Lee makes his return through the crowd. Later, Briggs, Jensen, Ivar, and Wesley all want to be the next to get a shot at the title. George, we don't get to talk about NXT very much, so what are your thoughts on Oba Femi? I believe he is a superstar in the making.
He showed at Skin and Deliver that he's just not just a big, strong guy. What he did when he had both those guys on his shoulders was unbelievable. I thought John Cena having Edge and Big Show on his show on, you know, for the FU was one thing, but for Oba to have, like, was it Briggs and Dijak on his, oh my God. Like I was in complete shock and awe after that, and show that this guy is going to be just so tremendous in so many ways. Him surviving that moonsault from Ivar. I thought Ivar killed him.
Doomsault,
him surviving the doomsault. I thought he was dead. But the fact that he was still able to get that victory, and man, Wesley, like that to me is the epitome of just like a great return. Like you didn't, and again, I'm not saying I'm against it, but I know a lot of times we'll see those vignettes like, oh, he's coming back, or you know, he's recovering. I thought he was going to be gone for like a few more months, so it was really cool to see Wesley pretty much come back and get what he feels like is his, even though I feel like he's outgrown the North American Championship. I do want to see him see what he can do when he's going after the NXT Championship.
You think Wesley should make the move to that top title right away?
Maybe not right away. Like it's one of those instances of like, I get you always want to be a champion, but I want to see you be able to shine without maybe a championship in the horizon, you know, right there in front of you. Like, hey, let's see how you do with just maybe a simple blood feud or just maybe, you know, things like that.
Just a simple blood feud. That's all I want to see.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, you're right, though. I feel like Wesley has been tied to the North American title so much during his time. I'd like to see what he does and what he can do when not involved in a championship situation. But look, Obafemi, he might not be letting go of that title anytime soon. But we talked about getting to that world title scene or that NXT title scene. There was a stare down between Obafemi and Trick Williams. Do you think that Obafemi might be making that jump to that NXT championship level sooner rather than later?
I don't think so. I feel like he's still relatively new. I mean, he just was in that NXT breakout tournament, which he won, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no rush. I think he can, I wouldn't mind kind of seeing him in that division for a while, maybe give it like a year, year and a half before he starts, you know, eyeing the top prize in NXT. I think it'll be a while, but I don't think there's any rush for him to be up there just yet. Especially with Trick kind of being coming off so hot. I want to see the Trick era run and not have to worry about, you know, Oba losing anytime soon.
Yeah, Trick's gonna want to hold on to that title for a long time. And I think Obafemi, I mean, I feel like honestly, Obafemi might be one of those guys that is the North American title for a while, and then once he loses it, quickly makes his way up to the main roster. I don't know if he's in NXT this time next year. I think he's got a fast pass, because like I said, he's got the size, I think he's got the presence, he's good on the microphone, crowds behind him. I don't know what you're waiting for from him. I'm not saying they need to bring him up right now, but like, if you're looking for who's checking boxes, those boxes are checked from Obafemi. We got two new folks, Tyson and Tyreek, up against the OC. We learned a little bit about these two. They're apparently powerlifting nerds, from what I gathered from their video. They put up an impressive debut against the OC, but the OC eventually get the win. George, it feels like the OC are going to get tag team title shots soon. Let me know what your thoughts about that are, and this debut from Tyson and Tariq.
I mean, I like that they didn't just kind of come in and just rough shot of the tag division. We've kind of seen that a lot in NXT, where you have this debut. And it does make sense when you think about it. Like, why should they beat the global veterans, right? Like, Gallus and Anderson's got, like, just accolade after accolade after accolade. Like, they shouldn't just beat them just willy-nilly, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I kind of like that they didn't win their first time around, but it kind of shows that, hey, they got work to do. This is developmental brand, and, you know, there's no way to go but just up. With that said, I do like seeing the OC. I do wish I would see a little bit more from them personality-wise. I think Luke Gallows is somebody who people have no idea just how hilarious he is. Mm-hmm. And Carl Anderson is another guy that I think has tremendous personality. I mean, boring story, like 18 years ago or so, I remember they were training in this little warehouse out in like North Hollywood, and that's the first time I ever met Dave Marquez. But like Rocky Romero was
Shout
there
out Dave Marquez
yeah Rocky was there, Carl Anderson was there, and I wish I was able to spend more time in there, but just kind of seeing him. And I remember they had a show that weekend, or one of those weekends, and there was literally a show where they performed from like six or seven people. Mm-hmm. So for me to see Carl Anderson there to where he is now, I think is amazing. But with that said, like I people don't realize just how good I know these guys are good in the ring, or people know that they're good in the ring, but dude, these guys are hilarious. I want to see more of their personality, and I know they can do it. I know they have the ability to really capture in the crowd from that aspect of pro wrestling.
Something I like about the OC is they're one of those teams that always have, regardless of what their win-loss record is, will always have an air of credibility to them. Mm-hmm. And so I think they are a team that if you do have, we'll talk about Axiom and Frazier in a little bit, if you have them face the OC and beat the OC, it's going to mean something, and it's mm-hmm. not going to hurt the OC in the process. I think because they have been everywhere, they also feel like tough guys to beat. So I think that'll be good for them. As far as the new team, Tyson and Tariq, they are they certainly passed the eyeball test. Look, they're big. They seem like they had no problem throwing around the OC, which is no small feat. I feel like I want to see them I want to see their characters fleshed out a little bit more. It felt very you're strong and you like to look at musculature. I don't know. You know, I feel like I'd like to see who you are a little bit more beyond that. But any quick takes from this new tag team?
Promising. You know, obviously, like I said, sky's the limit. They remind me a lot of I don't know if they have an actual name, but Hank and Tank.
Yeah.
We're just two strong power guys. And obviously sky's the limit for these guys. I mean, there's no rush. We don't need them to be out there winning tag team championships anytime soon. So yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that slow build. No rush. You know, this is NXT.
Yeah. Baby Ice says Gallows and Anderson's first New Japan Pro Wrestling run as a tag team was so great. Yeah, they've been everywhere and they've done a lot of stuff. And so, and to George's point, they've done it in front of all sizes of crowds, which I think as a wrestling fan is very cool to hear, because it's cool to know that they were doing it even when they weren't in front of a million people, you know. Ava comes to the ring and she says that NXT Battleground at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, we'll get a new North American women's champion. It'll be decided in a ladder match. They're going to do a combine to pick 12 women who will then have qualifying matches, who will then compete in the ladder match. Jada Parker, Sol Ruka, Ariana Grace, and Meechan all come out, so things break down into a big melee. George, this is we've talked about other shows and how they'll overcomplicate certain things. This, to me, sounds, I feel like I get it, and it'll let us see how athletic some of these super athletic women are, but do you think that they are overcomplicating getting to where they're going with this?
I do not believe that at all. Especially more so when like Meechan came out. And my first thought when Meechan came out was like, oh, so anybody can kind of come in and vie for the vacant North American championship. But then they kind of made it make sense where you have to earn your spot in there. You're not just going to throw in, oh, this person's from the main roster, that person's this, that, you know, like, hey, earn your spot. I like the throwback of them kind of, well, this is how the first North American championship was decided, so we're going to do the same thing for the women. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how sports entertainment at the combine is going to be, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't know if it's going to be legit. Or maybe it is going to be legit. Maybe it's going to, hey, we're going to go with the person who can do the most push-ups. We're going to do the person that can run the fastest. So it really is going to be a blend, because from what we've seen in NXT, there really is a great combination of just a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that aspect of it. And again, I'm looking forward to how they're going to do it, because they've never done it this way before. They never said, hey, we're going to have a combine, and the people that impress the most are going to be the ones in this match. So that's something cool to look forward to, because we've never seen it before. Now, if it happens and it fails, I'll be the first to say, like, hey, no, maybe don't do this next time. But I'm more so looking forward to how they're going to do this and seeing what everybody has to offer. I mentioned earlier that Ariana Grace was one of my two favorites that I think mm-hmm. is going to be tremendous in the future. My other favorite was in this segment. Because you know, I'm biased toward my favorites, I'm really hoping someone like a Jada Parker has her time to shine, because I think she is the total package in every single way.
I absolutely agree with you on Jada Parker. I feel like she's someone like Obafemi. I feel like you could draft her right now. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that, I mean this with all due respect to OTM, I don't mean this, like, they're a great tag team. As she was walking out, I was kind of thinking, she's already outgrown that team. Mm-hmm. She's already bigger than that. Like, she's already bigger. Like, she could be on SmackDown on Friday, and I think she would fit right in with that roster. I don't think she'd have any problem. She's a superstar. I think she's going to do so well in pro wrestling. I want to go back to the combine thing, though. I try to pose the question in a way so that we can try to, I like people to know that when we make critiques on one show, we make critiques on all the show. I usually say this all the time. I like it. I like it when it's nuts like this. We just talked at the beginning. I like WCW 2000. I'm okay with them trying something new here. You're right. It may fail, may be fantastic. I think what works really well for WWE right now and for NXT is so many of those competitors are former college athletes. So when they're doing the combine stuff, they may not have to fake it. You may have some people with some insane numbers that they're able to put up for some of this stuff because they were literally training to be in the NFL combine or, you know, in the NBA or whatever the case may be. So I think you may have, well, I guess it's the women. So it'd be the WNBA or whatnot, but you may get some insane numbers that they're legitimately putting up. So I think I think that'll be fun to see play out. My one nitpick with it, and this is such a corny, you know, business nitpick, is would have loved if they could align this up a little bit more with the NFL combine and take advantage of the synergy between the two.
Yeah.
That's one, again, super small nitpick. I wouldn't dock them points.
Well, like, I know some of the NXT executives are watching right now, so maybe they're going to take your idea and implement it next year.
Yeah. And this might be a, and Mike Martin's saying a lot of upper tier athletes. Yeah, the athleticism in NXT is bonkers, like right now. We'll see. This is probably gonna be a test run. We'll see a lot of how this works out, and they'll probably come back to it. Samoan Watchman, what's up? Hey, buddy, good to see you. Thanks for rolling through. Sean Spears had a match with Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland was able to get the win and get revenge over the issues with Sean Spears. This one's weird to me. I'm a huge Sean Spears fan. I don't hate Ridge Holland or anything like that. I get it. I just don't get what they're trying to do with him right now. Where do you land on Ridge Holland?
Yeah, I snarled because you took the words right out of my mouth. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. I thought Ridge was a heel, but he kind of had some babyface tendencies. Obviously, I thought he was heel when he did the whole fake retirement, and then him for him to, you know, come back a week later. I think he beat up Joe Gacy or something. Then you have Sean Spears, and I get Sean Spears. I'm not knocking Sean Spears in any way. I know he came back for more, maybe like a mentor role behind the scenes. So I don't get what they're trying to do. I'm not going to say a swing and a miss. I'd say maybe like a swing and a, you know, foul ball.
So I'll
wait and see, and you know, until the at bat ends in some ways. But yeah, I don't really get what's going on, to be honest with you.
Yeah, with the him hurting people, then retiring, but then coming back, but then
he was like backstage, like supporting Chase U. So I mean, maybe there's something there. Maybe that's what it's going to lead to, and I'll be like, all right, cool. Now I know what they're doing with them. But yeah, that was incomplete. I'd rate it incomplete in some ways.
You mentioned being backstage with Chase U, checking up on Thea Hale, who Thea Hale had her match with JC Jane, brought Fallon Henley out with her at ringside, and Jasmine Nix during the match tries to help JC Jane. Fallon Henley ends up taking the shot for Thea Hale. Thea Hale gets the win, and then afterwards Fallon Henley punches Thea Hale in the face. I mean, this is where I think our good friend Jimmy Corderas might say too many potatoes going on in this situation. Thea Hale, I guess we'll just start with where she's at. Poor kid, can't trust anybody. I think she does the sympathetic, tear-jerking moments better than anyone in wrestling.
The Rey Mysterio of NXT. We're just like, she just can't trust anyone.
Yeah.
The match was good. I previously on the NXT post show, we will talk about this match actually happening, that this was more of the payoff than what we saw at Stand and Deliver in that six women tag match. So we all wanted this match, and I think this was the match that I think had a lot of build. I'm a little surprised that JC Jane did not get drafted in any way. That's not to say that at let's be real, the WWE draft isn't the only time where NXT talent go up to the main roster. So just because she didn't get drafted doesn't mean that she's not going to go up there in the next 6 months or whatever, you know. So I thought the match was great, to be honest with you. I thought it was good. I dug the heel turn with Fallon Henley. It's a new, you know, it's a new, it's something new for her. We kind of know her as this white meat baby face, and let's see how she does with it. I didn't think it was too much, to be honest with you. I feel like this show, or at least around this time of NXT, because I know they have like two-part PLEs or whatever they want to call them, this is kind of more so, you know, the new era, you know, after the rest of this is kind of like their first, you know, they had Send and Deliver, they had Trick, and now this is like post-draft, now that we're not going to see Mello, Lyra, and a couple other people. So now this is now they're, now it's these people chance to kind of create a new character for them. And I like that Kiana being a heel, now there was a void that needed to be healed, needed to be filled. Enter Fallon Henley.
Yeah, I think Fallon Henley will have a lot of runway in this role, a little bit more than she had before, because I think she's doing fine as she was. But I think that a lot of times characters like her, when you let, when they switch sides of the track, so to speak, it gives them a little bit more flexibility to go a little more over the top and be a little bit more of a character. And I think that'll really help a lot of people latch on to her, because I think she's very talented. And I think that she's definitely got a bright future as well. I think this will let people really start to see just how versatile she is. There was a the screen flicker, Uncle Howdy, Bray Wyatt. We don't really know what it is yet. I think this is the first time that I noticed it was on NXT. Do you like them kind of re-bringing back the White Rabbit vibe?
I really do. It's, I'm curious on what they're going to do with it. I'm just hoping it's not like relying on any kind of like sympathy, if that makes any sense. Because I know we saw it a while ago with like Chavo Guerrero, where he was Curran White one week, and then the next week he was Chavo Guerrero because of what obviously happened. Yeah. And I don't know if they were kind of going for like, oh, now he's going to be a top babyface, you know, as a tribute. And it didn't really pan out maybe that way. Again, I don't know what they were trying to do, but at least that's kind of how it felt like what they were doing before he ended up turning heel. So like I said, we'll see. You know, there's a lot of moving parts in this. We have the rumors of Eric Rowan coming back. We have Braun Strowman coming back. We have Alexa Bliss, you know, saying, hinting that she's going to come back soon. So I there's a lot more moving parts there was that there is now compared to what it was before with the Chavo situation. So I'm just curious on just how creative they can be with it. Cause I know there's a lot of, there were a lot of behind the scenes parts that were went along with the Bray Wyatt character back, you know, a year or a year and a half ago that are still there. So like, we'll see. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out.
Do you think it'd be better for them to, if let's assume that the speculation is true and it's going to be like a new Wyatt family with the characters you mentioned, let's just assume that's what it is. Do you think it's best for them to do it on NXT where they can kind of control the release of how they do it a little bit more, or do you think that this is something you go straight to the main roster with? And does that make sense, kind of what I'm saying?
That makes sense. It's interesting, but I think for something like this, because Bray had such a big impact just in general, I think this is tailor-made for the main roster.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Roxanne Perez is upset that she wasn't drafted, and she doesn't care who her next opponent is until we find out at the end of the show. It's Chelsea Green. Killer Demons wants to know, why TF does Chelsea Green get a title shot? Well, because she complained to the manager, KOD.
Yeah, because Ava said it's okay.
This is kind of where I get a little crabby about the draft in general and the roster split, when like literally the first show, like the first week after the roster split is completed, Chelsea Green is going to be on a different show. But I like the matchup. I think it'll be a good person for Roxanne Perez to have a match with. Chelsea Green entertains me like crazy, so I'm happy to see her. Thoughts on that?
Chelsea knocks it out of the park every single... Now, I'm not going to say every time she's on TV. Every second that she's on TV. If you notice Chelsea Green, she's always doing something. Doesn't matter what it is, she's always doing something, and that is a testament to how great she is and how much she gets the magic of what pro wrestling is. And obviously she didn't have a very memorable run in the, you know, when she was in NXT a few years ago, so I'm kind of curious now that she's kind of making a name for herself even more so now, just what kind of how she's gonna apply everything that she's done to the current NXT.
Samoan Watchman asking, big trades coming. How would you feel if they started making trades right after the draft? Would you say, hey, at least they're justifying people moving? Or would you be like, what was the point of the draft if we're going to trade people?
What's the point of the draft if they're just going to trade people? You know, like if like why have it? Why not just do trades from the get-go instead of having a, you know, yeah, it's such a waste. Again, I'm just fingers crossed that this is the last time they're going to do it the way they did.
The family is driving around trying to figure out how they can win the Heritage Cup. Were you a fan of NXT UK, George? Were you a fan of the Heritage Cup?
I was a fan of what I saw.
Okay. So I was always a big fan of the Heritage Cup. It's right in my wheelhouse. There's a ton of rules, but I really dug it in NXT UK. I think the way they did it in NXT UK, where they really built the strategy and the how important each round was. I think they presented it really well. In the American version, it's left a little bit to be desired. But here in this scene, Tony D'Angelo's like, let me get all the information on the Heritage Cup so I can figure out how to win this thing. I feel like every time there's a new challenger, they don't even know the rules of the Heritage Cup. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're presenting the Heritage Cup properly?
I don't think so. There's a lot, like you said, there's a lot left to be desired. Tell me why this is so important. Like, for all I know, it's just a trophy. Just a trophy, just something, an extra thing that you have to carry around in the airport. Like, why is it important to be the Heritage Champion? Why? What are you trying to represent? Mm-hmm. Right? So I like a little bit more clarity on why this is so important to some people. You know?
I think one of the reasons I liked it in UK is because that's how it was all about the old traditional way wrestling used to be. And so it was a lot of the purists wanted to be the prestige champion. NXT currently doesn't really have a lot of purist wrestlers or wrestlers that would necessarily fit into that kind of vibe. So it just feels a little out of place. And I also feel like just the way the presentation of the show is kind of the antithesis of history and you know, that kind of thing, in a good way. I like it. It's just, it's not exactly something where they're going to be like, man, Bruno Sammartino, Carl Gotch, these are the guys that I want to be like, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's I loved it though in UK, but it definitely has a feeling of like, I get for the story, I think it's great that Tony wants to take it because the other guys owe him money, but yeah, baby, I says 2000 Steve Regal would have been a great Heritage champ. Exactly.
Regal or Dave Taylor or Fit Finley.
Oh, oof. Yeah. Those are the guys that would have been great. And so those are the kind of people you would need, but you're not going to see those kind of people in NXT outside of the guys who have it right now, which is Charlie Dempsey. We'll see how that goes. Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comment section. How do you guys feel about the Heritage Cup? Are you digging it? Do you not dig it? Do you like the matches? Do you like how it's been presented? A couple guys that used to be part of that whole division, Axiom and Nathan Frazier, they're the tag champions now. They took on AOP. Street Profits came to pump them up. AOP basically threw Frazier and Axiom around. Final Testament tried to use the numbers game, but New Catch Republic came out to even the odds. Champs retain. This one, I love this match, and I'll tell you why. Because it helped make this tag team look like champions in the fact they got a win over some very big fellas. I think it opened things up with New Catch Republic for them to have a title match of their own, plus a rivalry with Final Testament. How did you like this one?
This was a fun match. It's always going to be fun when you have Nathan and Axiom pretty much on the same ring at the same time, or in the same match. Obviously, I didn't think they were going to lose. They just won it like 2 weeks ago, so I didn't think their titles were in any danger. So I was kind of curious how they were going to prevail in this one. And I like that they had a New Catch Republic come out because they got a match coming up on SmackDown. So why not incorporate that into, you know, something to look forward to for Friday. Yep.
Alicia A says, I don't want the family to have the Heritage Cup because it doesn't fit them. You know, I agree, but now that I think about it, they are kind of about family and respect. And, you know, I could see them finding a way to work it in, but I guess you're right. That's not really their thing. Idris and Malik had a quick segment backstage where they're worried about breaking a mirror. So Brindley shows up and offers them kittens, but they're black cats. Kittens. George, what do Idris and Malik got to do to change their luck around?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, who knows? I mean, hopefully it's not some Final Destination crap that happens, right? But I mean, it's something for them to do. This is a team that gets lost in the shuffle very easily. It doesn't help that they don't got a team name. I'm a big fan of tag team names. Something to look forward to. What's going to happen next week as far as how their luck is going to turn?
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Their team, I'm really bummed out about because they're so good. I feel like they are entertaining. They're good on a microphone. They're in great shape. They wrestle well. I don't know why they can't catch a break. Maybe it's because they keep breaking mirrors and hanging around black cats, but they got it all. I want to see them do well. I want to see them get dubs.
My prediction is since we're building toward the ladder match for the Women's North American Championship match in a couple weeks or at a battleground, we're at some point going to see them walk under some ladders next week.
Oh, they might. That could be. I mean, they probably got. What are everyone in the chat? Let me know. What are some other classic bad luck situations? Walking under ladders, breaking mirrors, black cats. Is there any other classic bad luck stuff happens? Dylan saying, "I'm holding my tongue for this segment. We ain't on CW yet." Are you talking about the opening segment with Trick? Because that we did talk about that part. But let me know, Dylan. Let me know what you're waiting for, and I'll make sure we rehash it so I can get your opinion. The cat segment. No, oh, new shoes on the couch. No, the cat. Yeah, new shoes on the couch. Is that's a bad luck thing?
Oh no, opening an umbrella indoors too.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> Open your umbrella indoors. No shoes on the couch, umbrella indoors. Yeah, there's a lot of bad. God, what else is there? I'm terrified.
Cover of Madden's a good one.
Yeah, Cover of Madden, I think, is my favorite so far. We got to Raw Underground. I know this is NXT, but it'll always be Raw Underground to me. Natalya with Carmen Petrovic is facing Lola Vice with Shayna Baszler. Then what do you mean by the CW segment? I don't understand what CW means, Dylan. I thought you meant like the CW, like the TV station, but I guess you wouldn't know CW in Australia. Maybe here in America, the CW had TV shows. So I thought you were referencing that. And Issa in the chat, Cody winning, unleashed the worst luck. NYC Demon Diva, I miss you. with the heart. Thank you so much for coming through. No, I mean the CW network. That's what I was thinking, the CW network. Anyway, we're off the rails. Let me get back to the show. We've got this match goes all over the arena. Eventually, Shayna Baszler tries to get involved and gets tossed out of the ring. Lola Vice is in a sharpshooter. Baszler chokes out Carmen, causing Natalya to break the hold. Distraction allows Lola Vice to knock out Natalya and get the win. This is what I would say, George, was one of those matches where a lot of business was done, as they say. What were your thoughts on the Underground segment? How do you like Raw Underground? How'd you like the finish of this match and all that good stuff?
I thought it was great. I mean, having the women out there and showing that, hey, it's not just for the men. I know the last time we saw this match happen in NXT, it was for the men. But the fact that these two just went at it, it was very, I know there's a lot of comparisons to the blood sport by Josh Barnett that happens a lot during Mania weekend.
Yeah.
And this was right there. Obviously Shayna Baszler, who was on blood sport a month ago already. Wow. Oh, like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago was Mania. Was right then and there. So I like that they kind of added that aspect of, she knows that the environment very, very well, not just because of the MMA, but because of that as well. But I thought this was every much so what it needed to be. Lola Vice obviously has got the MMA pedigree. Natty has got that dungeon pedigree. And I think these two mix up really, really well. Natty can still go regardless of how many years she's been doing this for. And she really is proving more and more that she is the boat.
Do you like the Bloodsport underground style matches? Would you like to see them more often? Do you think they're doing them just enough? Do you think they're gone? Like, what would you like to see with these?
I like it when it's done sporadically. When it was done every week during that era, it was kind of lame, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I like that it kind of makes it a big deal. I know we saw Triple H was like 6 months ago or maybe like a year ago, say that he's not really a fan of having these matches just because it's that time of the year. So I like there's more emphasis on these gimmick matches are going to have a purpose. We're not just going to have it because it's the middle of April. We're not going to just have this match because it's Hell in a Cell time in June or whatever it is. We're going to do these matches when they mean something. And this is one example of it meaning something. It was either this or the Fight Pit. Right. But so, yeah, I like it when it's that aspect of it, when it all is the culmination of something.
Logistically, this is way easier than the Fight Pit also, because you just take the ropes off.
Yeah.
So it looks like what I like about this is it sets up clearly Shayna Baszler and Natalya. It continues if you want to do stuff with Lola Vice versus Karin Petrovic. So it's a very smart, smart setup here. Lola Vice, another person I think a lot of people have pegged to be a NXT champion in the future. Do you think that she has a high ceiling?
1,000%. In fact, in one of my predictions the past week or so, I thought Lola was going to get called up, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think she was going to be that dark horse. You know, there's usually that one or two people that get drafted that was like, oh, they just kind of started and they're already getting called up. I thought she was going to be that person. And again, I'm not upset that she didn't get called up because there's still a lot for her to do in NXT. I do have one request from you, though.
Me?
Yeah, because I know, you know, you got that hustle on the side where you like to play music. I need you to feel out the vibe. I know you don't really have a set list going on.
Yeah.
But I want you to just kind of throw in the Lola Vice theme song just to see how it plays out to like the non-wrestling fans. Do they like it? Are they vibing? You know, because I know if I was a DJ in some like at a club, I would just throw in the Lola Vice song because I'm like, you know, let me see how the mainstream audience would go, because this is that's a banger right there.
You know, you could do a whole set with great entrance theme songs that are just danceable and fun.
Let me know how that goes.
Throw in the old Lola Vice and see what anyone says. And if it doesn't work, I'll say someone requested it.
I remember, I know she's not in the company anymore, but I remember, two years ago or so, I texted you in Flobo voice and I was like, dude, Amari Miller's theme song's that song's a banger. Yeah. All my ladies, put your hand in the sky. That was a great song. And obviously, unfortunately, that somebody got released. But that made me more upset knowing that I'm not going to hear that song. I mean, hopefully it gets recycled, but you know, Somebody Call My Mama like four times. So
I'm glad Baby Ice threw this out here. Throw in the Pretty Deadly theme too. That's the first one I was thinking as well.
That's a great one.
I'm thinking ones that people could dance to. That one, play that with Dancing Queen and I Want You Back from Jackson 5. Those three would go together perfectly. This is a pretty good show, pretty good spring break in George. We're about done here though. Everyone in the chat, let me know what you thought of the show.
I do have one more thing. There was that one segment where they had a lot of the coaches from NXT kind of talk about, you know, the progress of some of these guys moving up and getting to the Raw and SmackDown, and just kind of I love that segment. Again, it reminded me of more the legitimacy of them doing like an NFL draft type scenario where you have people legit getting called up, because even though it's scripted, don't tell anybody, there's still a very like emotional moment when these people get called up, like as if you're getting drafted into an NFL team, because there's a lot that goes into that. One, you don't got to live in Orlando anymore. And two, there is a relative pay raise when you get to Raw and SmackDown, which I know it's very beneficial to anybody involved in pro wrestling. So that segment, If they can maybe do that maybe every few months on just like having the coaches get involved and talk about how that, you know, that aspect gets thrown in there. I absolutely love that segment of NXT.
Well, I'm glad that you threw that in there because it reminds me, like, you would be, I don't say this often, George, but I feel like, you know, you would be a great person to do what we call a drive on the show, someone who kind of leads the conversation. And we're going to get to see how good you do on Saturday, because we're actually going to have a Backlash review. We're bringing the PLEs back, and George, you're going to be leading the charge along with John and future Hall of Fame referee Jimmy Corderas, chatting all about Backlash. Folks, you guys have asked us to do this for a long time. You've been saying we need to do the PLEs. We hear you guys nagging and harping on us to do it, so we're gonna do it. That means if we do it, we better get big numbers. We better have a lot of people tuning in. We better get a lot of reviews and likes and comments and shares and subscribes, because if we don't, I'm gonna know all you do is complain. So everyone tune into the After Backlash review show here on Wrestling Inc. George, where can we find you online and some of the stuff you're working on?
First off, I got to dust off the old hosting that I used to do back in the AfterBuzz days. You know, we tune into that because that's been a while. That's been like maybe like over 4 years already.
Well, we're on a summer hiatus, if you recall.
Yeah. Yeah. How many summers is it? But you can follow me at Ghermoza, Ghermoza on all social media. You can follow my YouTube channel, The Wrestling Chatter, like Jack said earlier. We got a fun and exciting interview with a WCW, I call him WCW legend, David Penzer, who in my opinion was the voice of WCW, just alongside with, you know, alongside Tony Schiavone and all them people. And that was a really fun chat too. Like we dropped a lot of cool gems in that things that I didn't even know, and a lot of cool backstage and behind the scenes stories that I've never heard before, and makes me want to, I already put my order for the book. So I got that coming soon. But yeah, you'll see that up there. I'm going to share it all over social media. So TW Chatter on all social media, and the Wrestling Chatter YouTube channel. Give that subscribe a button.
Yeah, definitely check it out when that interview drops. It's really fun. We chatted with David Penzer about cummerbunds. We chatted with him about how he got into wrestling. We chatted with him about, one of my favorite questions was, I asked him, what was it like backstage when Shockmaster fell through the wall? What was everyone doing? What was going through everyone's minds as they were watching this unfold? He talks about it. You want to know what he said? I'll give you a hint. Tune into the podcast when it drops. Also, as mentioned, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer, by the way, across all social media. I'll be on Majestic Marie's show, Peaches and Power Bombs, when that drops. Make sure to follow. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer. I will retweet it, or you can follow her at Queen of Mods. She will be posting it as well. You can also check out, since she swung through, NYC Demon Diva, check her YouTube out as well. She's doing, or her Twitch, or she's all over the place. You know where to find her. Give her a follow and check out some of her stuff as well. And of course, make sure to check out the AEW after show on Wrestling Inc. tomorrow. I'm going to be on it. You're going to be on it. Jimmy Corderas is going to be on it. I feel like that's the show that we do the most arguing and fighting on. So make sure to tune into that one. Again, like, comment, share, subscribe. Check out the Backlash review afterwards. That does it. I'm hitting the end stream button now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.